You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It is Memorial Day weekend, often referred to as the unofficial start to summer. Many of you may be planning celebrations with families or friends, but it's also a time to pause in honor of the men and women who gave their lives while serving our country. This issue's cover story focuses on a local author who is telling the very real stories of our veterans and their sacrifices. And you may be surprised to learn how our own John Mino is involved in honoring their memory and why it's now his mission in life. We also have stories on the Quilts of Valor and how it's become a beautiful way to honor those who have served. We've mentioned the unofficial start to summer, and we have some tips for you and your family to stay safe when you're out on the water, and an important story on ticks, the diseases they carry, and how to avoid them. The Green Bay Action Sports Organization has lots of ideas on how people can be active this summer. Pete Schwaba brings us his classic cinema pick of the week. That's an important and poignant film, perfect for Memorial Day weekend. Later, we'll explore Operation Song in our music segment. First, what do you really know about Memorial Day? Wisconsin InfoLink shows that there are more than 26,000 service members from our state who have died while on active duty. Half of those were killed during the Civil War. Terry Barr opens up this edition of New Wisco Weekend with a story that takes us on a journey through the history of Memorial Day.
It's often referred to as the unofficial start to summer. So you may be getting ready to fire up the grill or just take some time to relax this Memorial Day. It's also a time to pause in honor of the men and women who gave their lives in service to our nation.
On Memorial Day, we pause to remember those members of our armed forces who have preserved our liberty and our freedom by making the supreme sacrifice.
That is former President Ronald Reagan, and a portion of the Memorial Day speech from the 1980s still described as one of the greatest. But the holiday goes back much further. It started in May of 1868. General John Logan issued a simple order. The Union veteran and head of the Northern Civil War Veterans Group called for a National Day of Remembrance. He wanted to honor all those who died while defending the Union during the Civil War. He chose May 30th and called it a day designated for the purpose of decorating the graves of the comrades who died in defense of the country. The first observance, known as Decoration Day, was held at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. General James Garfield, yes, the future president, spoke to a crowd estimated at around 5,000 people. Those gathered also laid flowers on the graves of more than 20,000 Civil War soldiers. But as America entered other conflicts, World War I and II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, the meaning of this day expanded. And so did the name. Decoration Day eventually became Memorial Day, honoring all U.S. military personnel who died in service. Also, Memorial Day continues to be observed on May 30th. This changed in 1968 when Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. This created the three-day weekend and the federal holiday. Memorial Day also moved to the last Monday in May, with the official change taking effect in 1971. Today, Memorial Day is marked in many ways. Parades will fill the streets of cities and towns across Northeast Wisconsin, the state, and the nation, often featuring veterans and active duty service members. Some of you will buy and wear a red poppy, too. It's a tradition inspired by the World War I poem, In Flanders Fields. Many of you will also continue the tradition of visiting cemeteries or war memorials. And of course, there will be the traditional barbecues and weekend getaways. And as former President Ronald Reagan shared in that Memorial Day speech, it's a day of both reflection and celebration.
While we think of this day as the unofficial beginning of summer, we know it is also a time of somber but inspiring memories. memories of so many courageous Americans fought and died so that we could enjoy the blessings of this day.
But at its heart, Memorial Day is a reminder freedom isn't free, and remembrance, in whatever form it takes, is something we owe to those who gave their all.
Thank you so much, Terry. In 2000, Congress designated 3 p.m. on Memorial Day as the local time for a national moment of remembrance. Keeping with the Memorial Day theme, let's take a look at Peach Wabba's classic cinema pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's classic movie pick is probably not technically old enough to be a classic, but I ask you, should classic film status only be defined by years since release? Even if it's truly an insightful, poignant documentary with a theme that is perfect for Memorial Day? Almost Sunrise made its national debut on PBS's POV in 2016 and tells the story of Tom Voss and Anthony Anderson, two Milwaukee-area Iraq veterans who strap on backpacks and walk from Milwaukee to Santa Monica, California to help create awareness for the veteran suicide crisis. In the film, Voss and Anderson are both struggling to assimilate and connect with their loved ones after returning home. They feel emotional distance and are fully aware of what their disconnect and depression can lead to.
Like when I started having issues when I first came home, it was really hard to get out of bed in the morning because I felt like I was just breaking down. But when I feel that way, I don't want people around me. So I make it intolerable to be around me. My wife, my family, they're so supportive of me. And when I was gone, they were trying to keep everything together back here. And then I repay them by being just a tremendous like, how do I make up for that? I don't really know if I can.
Voss and Anderson had to do something to help themselves and other veterans. They decided that a 2,700-mile journey on foot was exactly the therapy they needed. Along the way, they meet other veterans, are welcomed into homes, and even pray in the mountains with a Native American named Wolf Walker. The film explores the idea of moral injury, which is not recognized as a mental health disorder, even though it is considered by many to be the signature wound for this generation of combat veterans.
Someone once told me that war is the opposite of love, and the hardest thing about being a veteran is that when you're so young and you go to war and you kill, you don't know what love is yet. And then when you come home, you know, and 2, 3, 4 years later, you fall in love and you know what the love is of having a child or having a husband or having a wife or a girlfriend, or you know the love of a parent who really cares for you. And then all of a sudden you reflect on all those people that perished, the sons, the fathers, the wives, the husbands. And that's when you really start feeling that moral pain, right? That's really when you start feeling, wow, I didn't know what love was then, but now I do. And I terminated all that love in all those people's lives. You know, like, what an awful thing to live with.
Almost Sunrise was directed by the award-winning Michael Collins. Collins contrasts scenery of the American landscape during the on-foot journey of his two leading men and intersperses those scenes with footage of atrocities from their time in Iraq. The culmination of their physical and therapeutic journey when they reach the Santa Monica Pier will warm your soul. Almost Sunrise is available for viewing on YouTube, and it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Conrad Krieger is our sports correspondent here at New Wisco Weekend, and this week, he's got a look at action sports.
Summer is just around the corner, and skateboarding is a very popular way to get activity and hang out with friends. Eric Peters with Green Bay Action Sports Organization talks how GBASO is more than a skate park. So how did skateboarding become a sport?
The history of it is really fascinating because it came from surfers. When the waves weren't quite at peak, they put roller skates on the bottom of boards and then found banks to ride on, and then they transitioned into finding empty pools and then started that way. Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities within surfing.
So how did Peters get involved with Green Bay Action Sports Organization?
I didn't grow up skating. My son got me into it with another friend. But when I walked in those doors, it was like I was coming home. There was just something about it that was appealing to me. And my son and his friend skated that day. And then the next day I went there, and that's when I got to meet Brian, our founder. And he talked me into, we had a climbing wall at the time. So I spent the day climbing while my son and his friend were skating. And then my son wanted to go back the next day. And then that's when I got on a board for the first time as an adult. I had one as a kid that my grandma won in a raffle. And it was funny because when she first got it for me, she had it on the kitchen floor, stepped on it, fell, like the classic scene.
How does skateboarding help break the age barrier?
That's one of the best things about the skate community, because kids that are 5 years old and then adults that are 45 years old can learn together, which is amazing, because kids start to learn how to have conversations with adults. And especially this day and age, like, kids are learning or forgetting how to communicate with each other.
Oh, yeah. Peter shares that GBASO is working on mental health within their organization.
Yeah, it's a serious topic. And when you're able to see a kid's confidence grow and see those accomplishments that make and the pride that they have within them. I've studied Taiji for over 20 years, and I always throw in Eastern philosophy into my teaching and helping them to understand that if we can rely more on how we feel about ourselves rather than what the outside influences are telling us, that we're going to have a much easier life. So being able to make that connection with your board, having to do something over and over again and fail your way forward is just a huge life lesson that most of the kids that come into our facility aren't necessarily getting or they're craving for. Another thing that we get too are kids that don't necessarily fit into traditional sports. There's a lot of camaraderie within skating and all action sports, and we're supporting each other. For the summer, we're going to be switching up our hours, and then we're also going to be having all of our day passes be $10. So we do have memberships for the youth that are $45, and then we also have a program called Access for All that allows a discounted rate for families in need. But for the most part, we just want to get those kids in there and to be able to benefit from what we have to offer. Partnering with the YMCA. So for the first time, we're going to have all-day camps. So four times a summer, one in June, two in July, and one in August. We just posted that on our website, jabasso.org. We're going to have skateboarding in the morning, and then the YMCA is going to provide supplemental activities. We'll have different themes. We'll have a science theme and art and design week and games week, and then a combination of all those for the fourth one.
And we're at 2351 Holmgren Way.
Yep.
That was Eric Peters with Green Bay Action Sports Organization, who joined Mino and the Mayor weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger. America, America, America.
It's home, sweet home, America. When we come back, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot has an important story about the dangers of a common insect found all over Wisconsin, one that carries disease, and how you can protect yourself. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. With the unofficial start of summer, it's time to get outside, but be aware of some things that are crawling nearby. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us how the warmer weather brings out more ticks than ever before.
Ticks, ick, they're so sneaky and dangerous, and these little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear, so as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out. The soft belly tick, it actually lives for 15 to 20 years. It has white legs, which is very important. Many people have never seen one, and this is the main tick that carries tick-borne relapsing fever Borrelia. It's different, kind of like the other Lyme disease Borrelia. So you can get exposed to that in the winter, and usually it bites you in the middle of the night and goes back.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
You know, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but you know, 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing obviously you want to do in your yard is they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things too, and you pour that on the edge of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer. Definitely there's, when I did my research on local, they actually carry sweetgrass around, and or they burn it and waft it on their cloak. But I'm not really burning anything in my backyard. So, but that's just another option too. So we always want to, especially when we're dealing with children, we want to have something natural to use.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly, and the nymph are very tiny and black.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
You want to look at the legs. So the black-legged tick, that's the Ixodes tick. That's our classical Lyme disease tick that you worry about. Then you have the wood tick or the dog tick that has the brown legs. And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick, now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs. So that one, again, another tick that can carry multiple tick-borne diseases.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source, those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
So obviously, you're going to want to remove it as soon as possible.
That could happen quickly. Like for Powassan virus, it's 15 minutes attached. For that soft tick, it only needs to be attached for about 15 minutes or less. For Lyme disease, it tends to need to be attached a little longer. But all bets are off because recent studies on the ticks show different forms of Borrelia in the mouth already.
Don't panic and be sure to remove it right.
Don't do what my dad did, was burn them off with a match. Don't do that.
If you irritate the tick, it's going to regurgitate its contents in its belly, which is where all the bacteria is kept. And so you want to pull the tick out from the head as closest to the skin as you can, and you want to directly pull up on the tick. You don't want to squeeze the belly.
Now that I've got your attention.
Because if you remove it the wrong way, you could get infected right at that point. You tend to not going to see a bullseye rash with the tick attached. You tend to see it after.
Make sure to take off your outer layer of clothes and wash them right away.
You want someone to be able to check your back if possible, or creatively use mirrors. And then you obviously want to, like my dad would do, line us up and feel through the hair and make sure you're not feeling one. Okay. And if you do find a tick, most people do have a pair of tweezers around.
Look in dark and cozy spots, really any creases like your armpits, neck, hairline, beltline, ankles, and behind your knees. And don't forget about your pets, too.
Especially dogs are a main carrier of ticks into the home, especially if they sleep in the bed with you.
So as the outdoor season officially starts, you'll want to be using some preventative measures.
You want to wear long socks. You want to tuck your pants into your socks. You can use permethrin, which is a chemical that can be sprayed on your clothes, not on your skin, and that will repel and kill ticks.
But wait, there's more ways and insider tricks.
I take care of farmers, and I say they have these fancy pants. So they have permethrin impregnated pants that are good for 100 washes. And then you can buy actually permethrin impregnated socks, and people tell me you can find it at Walmart.
And as for the bug sprays you find at the stores,
it's called No Bite Me. It's got a picture of a little boy with a fishing rod on his shoulder, and that one wards off mosquitoes, biting flies and ticks. So you put a little dab of it on the skin, on the ankles, maybe for me a little bit of that, and then you're covered. And I can go mow the lawn or roll around with the dogs or the kids in the grass, and nothing bites me, just like it says.
And for those looking for something a little more natural,
if you're making your own, is usually the thyme and the clove in the repellent. Makes into a good tick repellent. My other arch enemy besides the tick is the biting fly, which can bring you this thing called Bartonella, which we may be worse than Lyme disease.
And go figure, with the changing climate and warming temperatures observed in the state.
We have seen the occasional Lone Star tick, which comes from the south, but that one can transmit the Alpha-Gal syndrome, which is not as common up here.
No one wants this pest to ruin our summer plans, especially because ticks don't drown, no matter how much rain falls. But if you come across a bite followed by
fever, joint pain, fatigue, a rash. It doesn't, most people know it as a bullseye rash, but it can present in different ways, mainly a flu-like illness. And the hallmark is that migrating joint pain. So the pain moves from joint to joint at different times.
The next step is to seek medical attention.
We provide preventative treatment for people who have contracted a tick bite and we're trying to prevent the infection from developing. We also treat acute infections as well as chronic infections in patients who have been suffering for a long time.
So if you're bitten by a tick, remove it right and pay attention.
Powerful computer in your pocket, call the smartphone and just take a picture and trend it, because if you're God forbid you're infected with Lyme disease. If you have a rash, at least you're more likely to be treated.
Stay safe and enjoy the great outdoors. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Last month, 11 veterans were recognized for their service during a heartfelt ceremony in Wisconsin Rapids, one that included a unique way to pay tribute. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has that story.
The Quilts of Valor presentation took place at Renaissance by Rennes on the morning of April 23rd. Each quilt is handcrafted by the Material Girls of Wisconsin and a beautiful tribute to each veteran's service, sacrifice, and valor. Tom Heiser served as part of the Color Guard.
Quilts of Valor, where veterans receive a quilt that cannot be sold, cannot be given away as a present. It belongs to the veteran and can stay within the family.
Tom said it was an honor to be a part of the day. He said many of the veterans honored served in the 1950s during the Korean conflict situation. Jeff Peters is a retired veteran and also mentioned during the ceremony as a friend of the veterans at Renaissance by Rennes. Jeff visits the facility every Thursday morning at 10 to talk with veterans and share stories.
We sit together, we have coffee, donuts, and we just talk about their lives, you know, their service, their, you know, what they've done. And, you know, they go from 89 to 102, and it's just amazing to me the memories, you know, that they have. And one of the reasons I did this is I wanted to be able to pass those memories on.
The next Quilt of Valor ceremony will happen this summer, and Jeff will be one of the recipients. If you would like to nominate a veteran to receive a quilt, you can do so at qovf.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story features a broadcasting legend in New Wisco who's dedicated himself to telling the stories of the men and women who have served to protect our country. And later, Operation Song. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Today on New Wisco Weekend, we are turning a different page for our look at Memorial Day. We are interviewing a gentleman who is renowned in New Wisco for his love for and work for veterans, and that is our very own John Mino, part of Mino and the Mayor on WISS and WGBW. Thank you for joining us, John. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate your show. I mean, every week we talk about another different elements you have, and I just think it's a fantastic show, and you do a great job of putting it all together.
Well, I thank you very much for that compliment, but we're here to talk about you today. And the reason why I wanted to talk about you is because on our stations, you do something every week on Mino and the Mayor called the Veteran Salute. And then you also have throughout the day on our radio stations, Remembering Vietnam, in which you talk about some of the people that you've interviewed and you've done the things that you've done with veterans. And I want you to know that you're seen and that we appreciate everything that you do for veterans, because you can tell whenever somebody talks about John Mino, in my world, the first thing they mention is your love for veterans. And you have written so many books and done so much for it. I wanted to ask you, what was it that prompted you to tell all these stories of the veterans of Vietnam and other wars?
Well, I think it goes back to my family. When I was growing up, and I'm the last of seven, and we got a 17-year age span between my oldest brother and myself. But at a really young age, all three of them were in the Army. So we went through a 6 or 8 year, maybe even more year span where somebody was in the Army. And I still remember some of those moments, man, when these, you know, your brother walks through the door in his Army uniform and comes home for Christmas and everything. And you know, also the pain or heartbreak, whatever you want to call it, is, and I'm going to date myself here, watch them go up on the train. We actually had train stations back then in the mid 60s, and they're getting on the train and going off, you know, to do their thing in the Army. So I was raised with that. You know, ironically, I'm doing a thing right now commemorating the end of the Vietnam War, which ended about 2 weeks before I graduated from high school. So it's always been a big part of my life, right from, you know, first day of kindergarten through high school. The military has been a big part of my life. I did not serve, and I'm just going to, you know, be plain and simple. My mom and dad were like, we had three sons got through and they made it home. You're not going in, which is whatever, whatever. But I've always been an advocate for those people who did go off and not even so much to war, just serving your country. And my attitude is once you raise your right hand and you say you're ready, willing, and able to put your life on the line for our country, man, that says it all. That's the badge of courage right there. So I just have so much respect, not just for those that were in wars, but also those that just answer the call and feel like it's something they feel like they should do as being an American citizen. So I have all the respect in the world for them.
One of the things that you do, you're a storyteller. I mean, without a doubt, you tell these stories, and you've done so in books, and you do so with audio and everything. But how many books have you written about veterans?
I've written four. I'm about three quarters of the way through my fifth. The first one was called Front Lines, and it was all World War II veterans. The second one was called The Pacific, also World War II. Then the other one was ETO, European Theater of Operations, which was also World War II. And unfortunately, all but one of my World War II friends have passed on. And I'm just very, very thankful that they took the time to sit down with me and tell me their stories over almost a 20-year time period. And I hold those gentlemen and women in the highest esteem humanly possible. Because you know what the thing is? And I worked in sports all my life, too. And you know what? You get these guys who, boy, they think so highly of themselves because they, you know, scored two touchdowns on Sunday afternoon. I got these gentlemen who are exactly the opposite. They wanted no glory, no whatever, no accolades, even though they stormed the beaches at Iwo Jima or took out a machine gun bunker during the Battle of the Bulge. They did these amazing things and were so humble about it. That was absolutely incredible.
Without you taking the time to talk with these veterans of World War II and other world stages, would those stories still exist? I mean, without these books, without this extra step, we lose these stories. And I think that's important.
I agree with that. And not accolades towards me, but that was kind of my purpose, to be totally honest with you. I've always been a history buff. You know, everybody has an interest in something. I've just always loved history. But I also love history where it can really relate to you, where it's like within an arm's reach. I mean, it's great reading about, you know, George Washington crossing the Delaware. That's wonderful things. But when you can sit down with somebody who lived that history, and the thing that I realized, this is where it all started. This started over a breakfast with, you know, an 80-some-year-old gentleman on Veterans Day, where we hosted a breakfast for them. I want to say it was like 1998. And he started telling me about some of his experiences. And I'm just sitting there thinking, wow, this is every bit as compelling as what Stephen Ambrose or some of those guys would write about. And that's this gentleman sitting right next to me here who lives in a senior citizen home in Appleton or whatever. And so I just started documenting those stories, and I had no idea. I just wanted their stories down on paper, you know, like what you said. And I just wanted to document that. I thought it was too important to just fade away once they pass. So that's how it started. And then somebody said, hey, you should put it in a book form and yada, yada, yada. 4.5 books later, that's where I am. So it wasn't to sell books. Trust me, local authors do not make money.
They don't.
But I will say this. I'm very proud of the fact that their stories, the number one thing I can possibly get as a quote unquote accolade is when somebody comes up and says, your grandfather or my grandfather is in your book. And we've got that for every grandchild. That is what makes it all worthwhile. I want these people to realize it's not these Hollywood type people. It's not the John Waynes of the world up on the silver screen that really did it. It's that guy that lived down the block from you who was your mailman or had that really nice garden or took you fishing or whatever. He's a normal guy. But when he was 18, 19, 20 years old, he was one of the most lethal people on the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
And I think that part is fun to bring out.
It is. It really is. And this is perfect for Memorial Day when you think about, you know, we're memorializing the people who have fought, who have secured our rights as United States citizens. To read these stories would be the perfect celebration, if you ask me. So where can we find your books? I know that local authors do not get rich. Believe me, my husband's an author. So, you know, but where can we find your books if we're wanting to read these stories?
If you're outside the Green Bay area, Amazon.com is the best way to do it. They should all be on there. And I just want to back up on one thing. You know, I'm doing the Vietnam. My last book was World War II, Vietnam, and the Korean War. And it was called 50 Strong. So I had 50 individuals in there. Two things I want to just bring up, if I can, Lisa. Sure. Number one, in regards to Memorial Day, and I'm doing some speaking on Friday and on Monday at different ceremonies around the Green Bay area at cemeteries. But what I always have in mind each time, we had one young man from my hometown up in a little town in Upper Michigan that died in Vietnam. And his cousin was my very, very best friend, the whole thing. And we were so excited because his cousin, David, was coming home from Vietnam. And his dad owned a really popular bar in town that my dad used to go to. And all the guys after work when they worked in Iron Ore Mines would go there and everything. It's just wonderful, wonderful family. Horrible tragedy. On his way home from Vietnam, after serving in the 1st Cavalry Division in the Central Highlands, which was a very, very tough spot, had a midair collision coming home with a helicopter. And he was killed on his way home. And I was the altar boy for that funeral. And I'll tell you what I experienced that day watching the honor guard take that flag off of his coffin and everything like that and hand it to the mom. And it's like, oh, my gosh. You know, in Vietnam, this was 1969, so Vietnam was still going strong. And I thought, can you imagine how many times that's being repeated around the country other than just my little town and how that family will never be the same again? And in some ways, that community won't be the same because you lost out on such wonderful young people. And I think about that every single Memorial Day, about the families who are probably suffering silently in a lot of ways on that day. So anything I can do to keep the memory, keep the spirit, keep the courage, the sacrifice of these young men and women went through. I don't think one day is enough to honor them. And I really and truly mean that. And that's why I never say celebrate Memorial Day. But in a certain way, I know that if those guys were here, man, they'd be celebrating it. If they could come back in time, they'd say, you know what? Celebrate. This is what we fought for. We fought for you guys to have a cookout on this day. We fought for you guys to live the American life the way it should be. So you know what? Do it. Enjoy it. Keep us in mind, but enjoy our sacrifice because this is what you have because of what everybody that fought for the United States that raised their right hand, this is what they fought for.
John Mino, host of Mino and the Mayor on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an honor and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for what you're doing.
If you're planning to fly your U.S. flag on Memorial Day, officials with the Department of Veteran Affairs say it should be flown at half staff from sunrise until noon. It should then be raised to the top of the staff until sunset. The proclamation on the proper times was issued by President Dwight Eisenhower back in 1954.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife. yourself. Yeah, country loved.
Weekend is the unofficial start of summer. And of course, the warmer days bring people outdoors and onto our beautiful waterways. This is a good time for some safety reminders. Here again is New Wisco Weekend correspondent Melissa Kay.
It is a state law that there must be a wearable life jacket for every person on board a boat in Wisconsin.
You know, the department recommends that you wear it. It doesn't do a whole lot of good if it's stowed in a compartment.
That's Department of Natural Resources Lieutenant Darren Kuhn.
But the fact of the matter is, your biggest piece of safety equipment on a boat is your life jacket. It's proven to save lives.
Kuhn said 80% of boating fatalities nationwide are a result of drowning, making it the number one cause of death in boating accidents. It's also important to be safe while swimming. You should always check water depth before jumping or diving. Jennifer Doring is an emergency medicine physician assistant with Aspirus Health.
Avoiding alcohol while swimming, making sure that with little kids that you're paying attention to where they are, they're fast, they can get away, and they can unfortunately slip underneath the water fairly quickly.
Kuhn also said it's important to realize that alcohol affects people differently when out in the sun or on a boat, and mixing alcohol with other substances is not a good idea.
We're seeing the mixing of alcohol and prescription pills, which the warning labels on the pill bottle specifically say don't mix with alcohol, but that's a dangerous combination. And what people don't recognize a lot of the times is that alcohol specifically affects people differently on the boat. Being out in the environment, being out in the sun, the wave action, generally not eating a lot on the boat because you're just out having a nice day on the water. All of that plays a part in how fast alcohol affects the body.
Be safe out there while enjoying summer fun. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, Operation Song in our musical segment. And don't forget, if you're driving anywhere during this holiday weekend, there will be more law enforcement out on the roads, too. The annual Click It or Ticket campaign runs through June 1st. It's meant to remind you to buckle up or face a fine if you're caught not wearing your seatbelt. I'm Lisa Hale, and this is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Operation Song empowers veterans, active duty military members, and their families to tell their stories through songwriting. We're very proud to feature Operation Song in our musical segment of New Wisco Weekend.
Just a kid flying overseas, not knowing about the man he'd be, learning about the fear of the unknown. As quick as it became so real, from boot camp to the battlefield, they never taught you how to let it go. They signed you out and sent you home, and everyone thinks they know when they say welcome home. We've got a lot to catch up on. It's been so long since you've been gone, but they'll never understand what you've given up for them. Welcome home, your family's all around you now, and your boots are back on solid ground. Oh, but they'll never know. Welcome home. Sometimes it's not what you hoped, what to do, where to go, living in an empty rat race town. 'Cause back home no one's got your six, the kind of trust that don't exist unless you're with your brothers downrange going live. Jump on. It's been so long since you've been gone, but they'll never understand what you've given up for them. Welcome home, your family's all around you now, and your boots are back on solid ground. Oh, but they'll never know. Welcome home. Town big parade. Oh, but your brother came home as a folded up flag. Welcome home, your family's all around you now, and your boots are back on solid ground. Oh, but they'll never know. Welcome home.
On with us right now, John Foti, from the CEO of Operation Song. John, I want to start off with you because I had a chance to meet you just a few weeks ago. You were on the Mino and the Mayor show with AJ Cross and featured a little song, and we got to know more about Operation Song. John, give me a little of your background and a little bit of the background of Operation Song, if you would.
Yeah, so I am a Army veteran. I was in the Army as a helicopter pilot from 2012 to 2018. And I was unfortunately medically discharged at the age of 27 with type 1 diabetes. And that was kind of my introduction to the veterans community. After I got out of the Army, I tried a few things, but eventually found myself in love with nonprofit work, specifically the opportunity to serve and continue to serve my peers, but just not in uniform anymore, through the veterans nonprofit community. And it's through that that I networked with Operation Song and fell in love with the mission and vision, and started here in January with the team in order to help grow and serve more veterans nationwide. Operation Song's vision is to be able to tell the story of every veteran to every American, and that includes military personnel and their families. And our founder, Bob Regan, in 2012, doing Armed Forces tours, learned that veterans have incredible stories to tell. And Bob Regan at that point was an incredible, you know, award-winning and nominated songwriter in Nashville, had written several number one hits, you know, tons of top charts hits. And he started dedicating his own personal time and money into Operation Song as the founder in order to tell veteran stories.
90 men, 6 cannons, and 1 mission. Life and death all hang on my decision. I tell you everything, but I leave a lot out. I do what I have to do to make you proud.
8 moves, 4 funerals, 1 baby. I guess God had to show how strong he made me. I tell you everything, but I leave a lot out. I missed you then, just like I miss you now.
My days are long, and your days are long, waiting to hear I love you on the phone. I have to be strong. Both surrounded, both
got yours. Different fights in the same war. The same war. In the same war.
In the same war.
My days are long.
My days are long.
Your days are long.
Your days are long.
Waiting to hear I love you on the phone.
Thank you for being a part of our Memorial Day issue of New Wisco Weekend. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, and Pete Schwaba. If you have a story you'd like to hear us cover, please email me anytime. Lisa.Hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.